Hello. Good morning. Question. How did you feel when the news of the worldwide cyber attack was flashed everywhere? I suppose that if you didn't have a hospital appointment, you may not have worried, even though you would have appreciated the seriousness of the situation. You would have felt confident that the experts in the NHS will deal with it and correct it instantly. If, however, you happened to be in the operation theatre and the surgeon had to stop the operation, then, and I hasten to say, or to pray by saying, God forbid, you may never be good enough to listen to my talk this morning. And had you been in the tunnel called MRI, that is magnetic resonance imaging, and it stops midway, you would have had to be pulled out and possibly would have suffered some indignity, as you only had a soft single robe around you. But thankfully, all this has not happened in our area. But that is only because of our luck, not because we are cleverer in here than elsewhere. Of course, you know what I'm talking about. It's about that worldwide spread of the so-called ransom malware, which found its way around the globe in about 150 countries and affected us in Britain mainly in our NHS computer systems. What was even more laughable is that the whole spread was halted by a 22-year-old, I suppose you could call him a nerd, simply by discovering the built-in kill code within the actual malware. I suppose that built-in code was put in by the generators of the malware to give them ultimate control should they wish to abort the spread at any stage. That 22-year-old nerd marvelously discovered that so-called killing code and applied it. This sounds like either a fairy tale or a horror story, depending on your mood. So far, so good. The damage was curtailed, the computers resumed work, and if I'm talking about it now, the whole episode would have been forgotten. But, and here is the nub, should it be forgotten? Perhaps I can remind my dear listeners that this malware was apparently developed initially by the cyber unit of the United States Security Agency. It just happened to escape from that unit and find its way to some criminal gang. The incidence of such cyber interference, or cyber war if you wish, is nothing new. It can even be at times official, that is, state-sponsored. I can remind you that not so long ago North Korea fired a ballistic missile that only flew for a couple of minutes before exploding in midair. The suspicion was that the United States of America interfered with the computer function in the missile. Again, a few years back, there was that very clever cyber attack on the Iranian nuclear development program, the so-called Stuxnet. In 2010, this malware found its way into the Iranian system, with the result that the centrifuges that operate to concentrate the fissionable material went out of control. This set back the Iranian program for quite a while. But we do not have to go too far before we realize how bad such an interference can be. It's almost certain that recent elections in the West were subject to some attempts at interfering with the voting procedure, especially in relation to electronic voting or divulging of emails, which, whether genuine or rogue, had some beneficial or disastrous effects depending on how it was aimed and who was affected. These are just some examples. Others concern the financial system and transactions and meant serious losses by some and perhaps enormous gains by others. All this means that whether we like it or not, the world is in serious trouble. And it may not be too much of an exaggeration if we say that a cyber world war could be as devastating as previous world wars, if not more. and without one shot being fired anywhere. If one person, gang, or even the National Security Department of a particular country can, with a click of a keyboard, wipe out the financial system of the world or the communication means, I think we can find ourselves, I and you, having no access to our money, and the supermarkets will have empty shelves in a few days, if not hours. So here we have another example of how practically every discovery or invention humankind worked out, while having been used for the good it was invented for, had as often and sadly also demonstrated the destructive aspects of its abuse. In this present cyber attack, even the method of paying the ransom is a distortion of a novel type of international payment called the bitcoins. This is a useful normal international transaction and has the benefit of being anonymous. It can be quite convenient, but here it is a means of extortion, as if the attackers are saying, your money or your files. The world cannot continue like that. I hope humanity comes to its senses and realizes, as Abdu'l-Bahá, the son of Baha'u'lláh, the founder of the Baha'i religion, says, by science and art, he, the human being, brings hidden powers into the region of the visible world. Man perceives the hidden law in created things and cooperates with it. The real purpose, therefore, is for humans to keep on discovering and inventing, but all the while they should be conscious of the real aim for all that. That aim is none other than the service to all humankind and the raising of standards in lifestyle, prosperity, and leisure. Above all this comes the duty to remember the giver of all these bounties, and to God we pray, and he will open our eyes and minds to yet more such hidden secrets. I will end this talk today with a sincere prayer for the perpetrators of this cyber attack, and hope that the world rids itself of the curse of abusing the fruits of our scientists and our discoverers, and replace this abuse with what benefits the whole world. Please share these prayers with me. Goodbye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with The Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.